Well, I'm grateful to be able to share with you this morning, though I'm sorry we don't have one of our far superior fill-in preachers here today. We checked with all of them, believe me. And when they were all unable, you got stuck with me. So as we begin today, let's bow in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time to hear your word, to reflect on it, and what it means for us. I pray that your spirit would work in our hearts, change in us what needs to be changed, open the eyes of our hearts that we might behold wondrous things from your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I'm asked to preach, I feel like the most difficult thing is deciding what to preach on. I asked Pastor Adam if he would mind assigning me something, and he said no. So, with the entire Bible open to me, I thought, wow, this is a little daunting. Thankfully, in the providence of God, there have been several scriptural themes that keep coming back to me through various channels, whether it be the Sunday school conversations or devotionals or just various reading that I do, help me narrow down to what I'm going to talk about today. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Show of hands, how many of you would say that prayer is important in the life of a believer? It's important. Follow-up question. How often do you pray? That one starts to get a little bit, Now, what do you pray for the most? It gets a little bit more uncomfortable, right? Are you closer to the Lord Jesus today than you were 1 year ago? And if not, do you want to be closer to the Lord a year from now? If we pause and ask ourselves why in our minds, why did we answer any of those questions the way that we did? It might make us a little uncomfortable. That's okay if it did. Even as I wrote this message today, it caused me to stop and to reflect on my spiritual life over the past year. It caused me to ask myself these same questions. In the busyness of our lives, it seems all the spare moments get absorbed by one thing or another. Not a day goes by. It seems like a month can go by, a week, a year. And we get to the end and we're like, wow, what did I do? Spiritually, what am I closer to the Lord now than I was? Or sometimes when we come to church, we just kind of do it out of obligation. It's like, oh, I have to go to church. And then we look at the clock, how long till it's done, right? These are real struggles that we have. Spiritual disciplines don't take the time that we think that they do. I did a little bit of research as part of preparing this message, because the passage that we looked at from Ephesians, he says, for this reason, I bend my knees. This is why I pray. And he lists out these things. So I thought, well, if we're supposed to be praying, that's a spiritual discipline. How long on average are the prayers that are recorded for us in Scripture? Well, they vary widely, as you might expect. But the shortest prayer that I found was from Matthew 14, verse 30. Lord, save me. Three words. The next after that would be the thief on the cross next to Jesus that says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's eight words. The Lord's Prayer is about 56 words. And Jesus' high priestly prayer is around 650 words. And that's where he is praying for all who will follow him throughout history. It's an amazing prayer. If you read that, it's in John 17, verses 1 through 26. I'm not going to read it today, but I would encourage you to read that and realize that that prayer that Jesus is praying, he's praying for you. The first point that I want to make here today is that time is not the issue when it comes to spiritual growth and disciplines. No, we have a different problem. We may not be conscious of it, but we are making a choice where, how, and to what we give our time. We have a sinful nature that constantly wants to seek satisfaction in creation rather than the one who created it. I like how C.S. Lewis talks about this in Mere Christianity. He talks about how people view Christian morality or moral choices that we make as this list of rules that you must keep or else God's going to zap you. You're going to be punished. And he contrasts it with this view. He says, quote, every time you make a choice, you are turning the central part of you, the part that chooses, into something a little different from what it was before. And taking your life as a whole with all your innumerable choices, all your life long, you are slowly turning this creature into a creature that is in harmony with God and with other creatures and with itself, or else into a creature, into one that is at a state of war and hatred with God and with its fellow creatures and with itself. To be the one kind of creature is heaven. That is, it is joy and peace and knowledge and power. To be the other means madness, horror, idiocy, rage, impotence, and eternal loneliness. Each of us at each moment is progressing to the one state or the other. That's encouraging, right? What are your choices turning you into? I think that question that I asked at the beginning, I'm going to ask, is one that we need to ask ourselves much more often. Are we closer to the Lord Jesus today than last year? What about last month? What about last week? If you want to build strength and endurance, you take time to lift weights and run. If you don't lift weights and run, you're probably not building strength and endurance. This is true in our spiritual lives as well. Notice in this passage from Ephesians 3, he gives specifically the reason why he is praying. And it's for spiritual growth. His primary concern for his fellow believers is that they grow into the understanding and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for them to be filled with the fullness of God. Is this how we pray? I don't. Yeah, this was a convicting message for me. It's like, man, this is not how I pray. That's not the primary reason that I bend my knees and pray. And it was really convicting for me. There are times in our lives where we don't know what to pray. It's difficult. Romans 8 gives us that assurance that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us in those moments with groanings too deep for words. It's those moments when you don't have a desire to pray. You know in your mind that you should, but you just don't want to. But even a prayer as simple as, Lord, please give me the desire to seek you. It's there. So it's not the length, the polished nature of your prayer that determines its significance. Lord, save me is one of the most spiritually profound things that you could pray. And that's only three words. My second point is that what you believe will direct your spiritual growth and disciplines. If you believe that forgiveness of sins isn't important, sins aren't that bad or whatever, well, you will act accordingly. If you don't believe that God can hear the prayer of a sinner like you, then you probably won't bother praying. So what do you believe, and how is it directing your spiritual growth? If someone were to ask you, what are the things that you believe as a Christian? Could you answer that? Yeah, why or why not? Just think about that. On a very basic level, you can say, I believe in Jesus, and that's good. But what do you believe about Jesus? The scripture says that the demons believe in God and tremble. Like, well, what? Why? What do they believe? That's a sermon for another day. But what do you believe about Jesus? Was he a good teacher or a prophet? He had some good teachings, but his followers are a bunch of hypocrites. I hear that one all the time. And they don't know the half of it. Was Jesus God or not? Did he really die on the cross and rise from the dead? Was he born of the Virgin? There are some promoters of a belief or a movement called progressive Christianity that have taken those accusations and have really run with them. They've sort of repackaged heresies from the third century and said that they're new. They cast doubt on the divinity of Christ, or on the virgin birth, or on the resurrection. These heresies were addressed by the church councils as early as the third century after Christ. And those councils produced creeds that we have in our hymnal. They're in the back. The Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed. And those are things that, together with Christians for the past 2,000 years, we have confessed. This is what we believe. I think we haven't, maybe paid the attention to the creeds that we should, because there was a lot of scripture behind this. This was foundational in directing the life of a believer. So much that they would ask Christians, what do you believe? And they would reply that they believed in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We're going to confess this together. And as we do, think about how the spiritual significance of confessing these things, that each of these things that you say, if you believe this, how is that going to play out in your life? How is that going to impact how you live? Because it does. My final point will explain, I think, how some of these spiritual disciplines end up playing out in our lives. The final point is that spiritual growth is generational and it is eternal. Your body is physical. Your soul is spiritual. Your spiritual growth does not cause your body to grow. And your physical growth does not impact your spiritual growth. When practiced in true faith, spiritual disciplines produce spiritual fruit that endures and that impacts the lives of others in ways that have eternal consequences. I'll say it one more time. When practiced in true faith, spiritual disciplines produce spiritual fruit that endures and impacts the lives of others in ways that have eternal consequences. The fruit of the Spirit. If you are cultivating spiritual disciplines, prayer, and reading the Bible, fellowshipping with other believers, the Spirit is working in you through that. And He will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against those things. So in closing today, I want to encourage you to take seriously the matter of spiritual growth. Lack of time, it isn't really the reason that's keeping us from spiritual growth. What we believe is important for the direction of our spiritual growth. What we believe is important. And that spiritual growth is eternal and impacts others with eternal consequences. As we come to the end of 2024, it's a good time to reflect. And in that reflection, I encourage you to learn more deeply what it means to be a follower of Christ. Choose to cultivate spiritual disciplines into your life. It takes work, just like going to the gym. You have to take time. You have to have discipline. But choose to cultivate spiritual disciplines in your life. Choose to stand firm in a biblical and historical Christian faith and be able to answer this question definitively next year. Are you closer to the Lord today than you were 1 year ago? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your assurance that you are with us, that you never leave us or forsake us, and that we can trust you. We ask that you would do a work in our hearts, that you would put the desire in our hearts to follow you, that we would bring our prayers and requests to you, that we would pray according to your will, that we would pray that you would grant strength and power of your Spirit in our inner being, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we be filled with the fullness of you. We ask that you would do that work in us today and this week and next month and in the coming year. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.